Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
Mitch, I'm at a rink, too, in northern Quebec. Outdoors, though.
An outdoor rink in northern Quebec? Tremblant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
I'm glad to be able to hear your voice because we spoke briefly. Pierre was driving through the Adirondacks earlier today and checked in, and we said maybe six words to each other.
That is true. It was not a fun ride through the Adirondacks today, but all is good now.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ride normally, huh?
Absolutely. Phenomenal ride.
Welcome home.
Really nice to be home. You know what the great equalizer is for all of us in society that just want to cure problems? Just let kids go out and play on an outdoor rink. Don't have any adults involved. No rules, and just let them play shinny.
How many are you watching?
Probably about, I was watching about 30 before, and it's just awesome. There are no rules. Just let the kids go out and play and just watch. Stay warm in the car. Let them play. Let them pick teams. Let them speak French. Let them speak English. Let them speak whatever they want. But you know one thing they understand? Having fun. And it's fun to watch kids on a rink playing shinny.
Yeah, amen. Or even ball hockey, for that matter, where I grew up.
Ball hockey was awesome. I agree.
Yeah.
Ball hockey was great.
Car! You know, for those of us who didn't
little
grow
help,
up.
Please, little help.
If you didn't grow up on a dead-end street. All right, the matchup tonight, not that long ago, as you know, and this is a rare occasion to have, basically, you got the two best goalies in the NHL this season going head-to-head from different conferences. This doesn't happen very often. And not that long ago, Devan Dubnyk's career was in serious jeopardy.
You got to believe in yourself, and that's a start. And you know, I spoke about it before. I think having some time to really reflect and enjoy my family, enjoy my one little boy at the time, my wife, and you know, my parents and my close friends, and just realizing that even though I was in a terrible spot and things seemed like the world was going to end, all these people were still there, and they're going to be there regardless of what happens.
There's perspective for you, huh?
One of the nicest things I've had at all the All-Star games I've had the privilege of working at was getting to know Devan Dubnyk's brother, mother, and father last year, and his wife last year in Nashville. As you know, I like to go to Legends a lot when I'm in Nashville. And I was sitting by myself in the same table I always sit at in the corner, just watching the live acts. And this big, gigantic guy out of Alberta comes up to me. They're in the car business, I found out later, just like my brothers and sister. And he says, "Hey, we're Devan Dubnyk's family. Want to have a beer with us?" I'm like, "Absolutely." So those people are the salt of the earth. The Dubnyk family is phenomenal. Devan was a tremendous junior player in Kamloops. He was an awesome world junior backup goalie, but a great teammate. This is a great story, a great story. And family matters in his story. It matters a lot.
So the Minnesota Wild are the hottest team in the league, in large part because of Devan Dubnyk, who's coming off his fifth shutout already this season. They've won eight in a row, and they're keyed by a couple of players very similar in how they've rebounded. Now, we don't know. I assume Eric Staal is going to keep this up all year, but it wasn't that long ago that we were wondering if his career was in serious jeopardy as well.
I'd heard all the talk, watched him play and that, but I always thought there was excuses, you know, or reasons that he wasn't putting up the numbers that he had been in the past. And I think it was one was Carolina was in a rebuilding time for about 6 years there, and I think it took its toll on him being the captain.
It's a whole different ball game when you're playing in a smaller market with different budget constraints and different things that you know are out of your control. And then when you're the captain and the highest paid player, there's things definitely weigh on you. I mean, that's human nature. But I mean, I have no excuses. There were times where I needed to play better than I did.
What do you make of that, Pierre? Is it fair to say that both Dubnyk and Staal might have been at least in part victims of being the hockey equivalent of punch drunk?
No, not Devan. Devan needed to find himself as a player. In terms of Eric got complacent. Eric let his guard down. Eric had nothing to give the New York Rangers last year when he's supposed to have a lot to give. He had nothing to give. He let himself go. This is an example of a player that has personal, professional, and family name pride. He showed up this summer and said, you know what, I can't be like this. I got to get back to work. And he went back to work, and he brought it this summer. And you can see it. There's an extra pop in his step. Now, remember, he's part of the legendary draft going way back when, where a lot of these guys are getting older now. He did not play in that high-profile market. He won a Stanley Cup in 06. There's a lot of different things that have gone on in his career. But I would tell you, this is a great testament to internal evaluation and saying, you know what, I can give more. And he did. He did this summer.
You always want to be a contributor. You want to, you know, especially when I have been over the years and a couple down years, and people seem to write you off pretty quick. But that's life. That's reality. And it's been fun to definitely be a little bit more on the offensive side of things.
Eric Staal again, once again, leading the Minnesota Wild in scoring with 25 points in 31 games. Always one of Sean Campbell's favorite players. John is at the Bell Center along with Pierre Maguire on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Sean?
Yeah, it was weird watching Eric Staal the last calendar year, just because it just didn't make sense to me. And Pierre, maybe it's kind of to Devin and Eric, how much is it circumstance? Because I always felt in the National Hockey League, it didn't matter where you were drafted or anything. If you were great, you were going to make it. It didn't matter. But some players, they needed to be in the right situation. And it seems that for both players, you know, it worked out for Eric at the start, but then it didn't. For Devin, it did not work out for the start, and now it's starting to. How much is circumstance for these players?
Oh, it matters a lot. Mitch Melnick, do you remember the California Golden Seals and a player by the name of Joey Johnston?
Yeah, I remember Joey Johnston. Well, that's a random name from the past.
Well, but circumstance. Remember how good an offensive player he was? He was a phenomenal offensive player. He was part of the California Golden Seals. Give me a break.
Well, and Gilles Meloche, Guy Lafleur always said, the hardest goalie for me to beat in the NHL, nobody saw those games. It was against Gilles Meloche when he was playing for California.
I'm just going to play to Sean Campbell's point, because I think it's a very valid and very strong point. If Bob Gainey had been drafted by the California Golden Seals and not the Montreal Canadiens, would we even know who Bob Gainey is today?
I don't know. He's not the same legend. Of course he's not the same legend.
No, you would not, and I'll tell you why. There's no need for a checking forward that doesn't get an average of 20 goals per year, who eventually ends up in the Hall of Fame playing on a team that can't even get 15 wins in a season. There's not that those guys don't equate. That's what I'm saying. It's circumstance. It plays to Sean Campbell's point perfectly. That's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, there's a lot to say about circumstance. Absolutely.
All right, so much like what you were talking about, the Ducks, before we get to the Habs, the Minnesota Wild, you look at their blue line. They got Marco Scandella is now a fifth defenseman or sixth defenseman on this team. They have puck movers. Like, which teams don't have puck-moving defensemen?
Well, that's a long and hard question, because you can look at the bottom of the standings and all of them are at the bottom. But I would say this. There's one name that none of you have brought up yet, Scott Stevens. Scott Stevens is the assistant coach to Bruce Boudreau in Minnesota. Scott Stevens has made a monumental difference for that team. Monumental in terms of Ryan Suter, Matt Dumba, Marco Scandella, Jonas Brodin. He's made a gigantic difference.
Well, I think everybody's bought in playing a structured game. I know that's an overused word, and I think our defense is very mobile. And we can come at you six deep, and we move the puck quick. When you do that, usually you don't spend a lot of time in your zone. And when we have been bad, we've had the goaltending there to back us up.
There you have a pretty effective rundown from the coach of the Minnesota Wild on why they've won eight in a row and why they're one of the better teams in hockey. You see them, they're not going to play 800 hockey, but they are for real. What we've seen here through 30 games, is there any doubt in your mind they're for real?
For real meaning what? Stanley Cup contender?
Well, that they can push, like they can push Chicago, for example.
No.
So what are they?
They're a playoff team.
So if they have a goaltender, and we know he's not going to end the season with a save percentage of .948, but if Devan Dubnyk is in Carey Price's neighborhood at the end of the season and continues that through the playoffs, what else would they need to seriously contend for the Cup?
More scoring.
Okay.
I'm just telling you that this is a lot of camouflage right now, and I give the coaches there a lot of credit. And Devan Dubnyk is an MVP candidate right now.
No question,
he is. And people listen. Minnesota's not a high profile team. That's just the reality of it. But they don't score a lot. They've had some fortuitous bounces. They've had phenomenal goaltending, and they've had a new coaching staff come in that have kicked butt. That coaching staff's done a great job.
And Zach Parise is not the Zach Parise that Scott Stevens knows.
No, and he's not Mikko Koivu. He's not the Mikko Koivu that we all know. And they can go down the line. They lost Thomas Vanek. I mean, they don't have a lot of pure scoring. Probably one of their best guys is a little bit like one of my favorites, Cam Atkinson, is Jason Zucker. And Jason Zucker's a nice player, but he's not a marquee player in the NHL.
And who is their longtime director of player personnel?
Blair McAsee, and he's my favorite.
You know, you got the best goaltender in the world, and maybe the best goaltender I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Are you prepared to go that far? Maybe the best goalie you've seen in your lifetime. He's talking about Carey Price.
I thought you were asking me or Blair. I didn't know if we were on tape.
Well, no, Blair answered. Blair answered Tony's question there.
No. Blair saw Carey at a time when Carey was off the charts phenomenal in Leksand, Sweden. And if you haven't seen it and you're a young person, go watch the 07 World Junior from Leksand. This is a performance that very few men in the history of their life will ever match at that level, at that age. Carey Price is a phenomenal player. Do I think he's better than Patty Roy? No. Do I think he's better than Marty Brodeur? No. Do I think he's better than Glenn Hall and Jacques Plante or Terry Sawchuk? Probably not yet. He's got to win a cup.
You know, I don't think people realize, I don't think they appreciate how good Carey Price is as a goaltender. I mean, a lot of nights he makes saves that he just makes it look easy. And I know you might argue, well, he hasn't won a Stanley Cup, but I don't think that's Carey Price's fault. He's won everything else, including World Junior and Olympics and World Cups and whatever else.
And a Calder Cup in the American Hockey League. Once again, Blair McAsee with Tony.
You know what I think of Blair McAsee.
Yep.
I love the man like a brother. Love him. Love him to death. He's one of the best hockey men I've ever met. That being said, great goalies, 86-93, Patrick Roy. What did he do? Did he have a great supporting cast? No. He got them a Stanley Cup twice.
Habs and Minnesota Wild right here on TSN 690, and Pierre LeBrun is going to join Sean Campbell in the press box a little after 6. We'll talk to Pierre as we always do every Thursday and Tuesday. On to the Habs. Sean?
Yeah, I'm curious about the Canadiens' defense corps tonight. They possibly could be playing without Alexei Yamalina. Andre Markov is already out, and they've been relying a little bit on Shea Weber. This is another opportunity for Jeff Petrie and Nathan Beaulieu and even Mark Barberio to step up in a bigger role.
What about Joel Hanley? Does he count?
Well, he might play if Yemelin doesn't, but I don't know if he's going to have a huge role tonight.
Well, Pierre, let me ask you. If you were coaching, you've done it, and now it's been 20 years, but you know how things have changed. Alexei Yemelin's wife gave birth. It's their third child. You want him to play tonight?
No. Absolutely not. That's why I brought up Joel Hanley's name. Yeah. I don't want him in the lineup tonight. He just experienced the miracle of life. One game in an 82-game schedule against a non-conference and non-division opponent doesn't matter to me. I want him to enjoy his family. That's part of coaching. This is part, you know, you say that, and I appreciate it because it's true. The numbers don't lie. But here's the difference between me and most of the guys in the league. I deal with millennial players every day, and I don't have to coach them. I deal with them. And it's a way different deal because if I had never done the job that I'm doing now, I wouldn't really appreciate it. I'm just telling you. These players are way different. It's way, way, way different from when I was coaching. Way different.
We'll get back to the Habs in a second. Pierre last night in Philadelphia.
Marzetta bats it up the left wing, chased it down, got to it into the corner, looking in front, he gave it to Burakovsky with a shot. Mason made the save. Bunting puck out in front, they score, and it came to Marzetta, who puts it high into the net after the Flyers had a chance to clear, and they failed to get it done. And Eller's going to get his third goal of the season. It's his first in 19 games. And Lars Eller's makes it a 2-1 cap lead.
Pierre, I jokingly, I don't know if I mentioned it to you, I put it in my blog that maybe Lars Eller was waiting for the game against the Canadiens to get his season going, because he played very well that night against the Canadiens. I didn't really see the game last night. You were there, but I saw he picked up a couple of points there. Is it possible that, you know, this is a more effective player for the Washington Capitals than what he has been?
You didn't watch the game, because what I said last night was what the Capitals coaches were so impressed with his game Saturday night against Montreal. They felt it was the best game he had played as a Washington Capital, and they were hoping that he and Burakovsky were really going to respond against Philadelphia, and both players did. They were really good. They were line mates. They played well together. It was fun to watch. All that being said, I warned you about Philadelphia. These guys are tigers. They're tough. Philadelphia's tough.
In the last half minute of period number two, and a chance here. Provorov able to settle it down, moves in. Save made by Holtby. My goodness. Given up again, brought on by Giroux. He scores! The former Flyer, Justin Williams, has got a score. Otherwise, the Flyers win. In on Mason. Took the shot. Mason makes the save. And the Flyers win it in the shootout. Goals by Voracek and Wayne Simmonds in the shootout. And Steve Mason turns away three of the four shots sent his way.
Pierre, the truth is, as you know, with the Flyers, if they don't get off to a slow start, mostly because Steve Mason was terrible first month of the season, they're right up there with Columbus and the Canadiens.
We talked about this last year. I warned you about them for this year, and I'm warning you about Boston for next year. That's just the reality of it. There are two teams in the East that are so stockpiled and loaded to go. Philadelphia's one, Boston's the other. May not translate for Boston this year, but it will next year. Philadelphia's for real. And what Ron Hextall's done, and I'm just going to give you a couple names. You're going to see Merrick Madsen. You're going to see Alex Lyon. You're going to see Carter Hart. You're going to see these three goalies at some point that aren't even in the NHL. One's in college and two are in the American League. One's in junior, one's in the American League. You're going to see this team is so loaded going forward, Philly. Buckle up. Buckle up.
By the way, Carter Hart, number 31. Yeah. Number 31 for Team Canada. Final one on the game tonight, Sean.
Yeah, just for this game, is there any way we're going to see a team score three goals between these two goalies?
Yeah, just when we think we got to figure it out, Sean, I'm with you, by the way. It's going to be like an 8-7 game, 8-6 game. I'm with you 100%, but I don't know. It's going to be hard because around Christmas and the holiday season, these non-conference, non-division ones are hard to figure out. They really are. It's hard to predict.
Have fun with the family, Pierre. Sounds like you already are. We'll do it again tomorrow.
You know what? Just being outside, watching kids play hockey is awesome. Now I want to get out there and do it, so I'm going to.